like to start with a quick and very easy riddle, if you will. What or who am I? I am the hardest thing to give away, and the one thing that we all desire, and the one thing that always goes to those who do not deserve it. Who or what am I? Do you get it? It's forgiveness. So today I'd like to address the subject of forgiveness and its vital importance for our overall spiritual health and our physical and psychological well-being as well. If there could be just one word that could characterize the world that we live in, just one, I think it might be anger, right? I mean, we see it every day in the news. I don't think in my lifetime I've ever seen so many people so angry about so many things. And it all has been justified by psychology of this world for so many years now. For example, i.e., if you have the right to be angry, your anger is justified. You are mistreated and everybody is abused, right? And everybody is a victim. I mean, I've heard that so many times, it's ridiculous. You need to be angry because anger is how you deal with the way that you are mistreated, says the psychology of the world that we live in. And is further fueled by narcissistic self-centeredism, where everybody thinks they're the most important person in the world. TikTok, Facebook, you name it. It's out there, man. And everybody who offends them is worthy of the severest kind of punishment, perhaps even to the extent of violence. We've seen that so many times in the news, haven't we? Now, the wisdom of Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 7:9, there's a pull quote from there, anger resides in the heart of fools. That's NIV version. Anger resides in the heart of fools. Sounds rather harsh to say that, doesn't it? It lives in the heart of fools because all those who are without God are fools, right? Anger is a very universal human emotion and driving motivation for mankind. Again, if any corrupt attitude can define our culture, it might be anger. Now, the absent virtue in all of this is what? It's forgiveness. And the absence of forgiveness destroys all relationships, especially that with our Father and Christ, our brother. Now, I walk around this world and with all of you the same. It's impossible to live our lives without offending somebody at some point, right? It's impossible. Because we're still carnal human beings. And that demands forgiveness. And where there is no forgiveness, there is a storing up, the mounting up, and the accumulation of offenses that continues to escalate anger. Never is a person more like Satan than when one hates or wishes harm on another person in some form or fashion. And God's response to that is, well, if you say, I've got ahead of myself, if you say that I've never hated anyone, I've never murdered anyone, well, as I said, God's response to that is, oh, yes, you have. 1 John 3:15, NIV, 1 John 3:15, anyone who hates his brother is what? Is a murderer. That kind of strikes me kind of hard to say that, right? And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Now that's a biggie to me. So if we hate, we have bitterness towards someone, we've committed murder. Now, you know, sometimes the spirit of the law can be an absolute bitter pill to swallow, right? Especially because we're still carnal beings. Well, with that in mind, I'd like to highlight what Proverbs 19:11 says. Proverbs 19:11. A man's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it's a man's glory to overlook a transgression. A man's glory. A man's discretion makes him slow to anger. Discretion being what? Wisdom. And it's a man's glory to overlook a transgression. You know, man doesn't get any higher than when he overlooks a transgression. That's his glory, right? That's the pinnacle of being a carnal being, carnal human being, when you rise above your anger and your hatred and your hostility and your bitterness. Proverbs 10 and verse 12 says, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all transgressions. Love covers all transgressions. Peter referred to that in 1 Peter 4:8, where he says, love covers a multitude of sins. And it's a man's glory to overlook a transgression. Of all the human qualities, of all the human virtues, none is more godlike than forgiveness. None. None of us would have any relationship with God that would be considered at all positive if God were not a forgiving God, right? We who have been called by God and know His truth, we who have been offered salvation and have been offered redemption, have received that invitation because God forgives. Never are we more like Satan than when we are angry and we hate and are bitter. And never are you more like God than when you forgive. Never. That's a man's glory, a carnal man's glory. That should be on display in the Church of Jesus Christ and in every relationship and collectively in the community of God's people. Now, the price of not forgiving is very high. I think we are all aware, very much aware of that. Let me approach it negatively just for a moment here. The problem with not forgiving is that unforgiveness imprisons people in their past. Did you get that? Well, and as long as you refuse to forgive offenses, the offenders, you are shackled by their offense. You are tied to that offense. And as long as you refuse to forgive, you keep that pain alive. It's like pouring fuel on an open wound or salt on an open wound. Or picking at that open wound. You refuse to let that wound heal. You're sentencing yourself to go through your life feeling miserable and likely worse because you fuel the lack of forgiveness. You choose to love hate and to love anger and sentence yourself to the bondage and that horrible reality. Again, only a fool would imprison himself in a past offense by refusing to forgive and love and then move on from that. Mark 11 and verse 25 gives us a picture of how God expects our attitudes should be towards those who sin against us. It says, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive you. Now again, that's a biggie to me. I mean, man, we go to God a lot and ask for forgiveness, but if we're holding a grudge against someone, what does it say? God's not going to forgive you until you forgive them, right? It's a plain, obvious doctrine, if you will. I'd like to share a few thoughts from focusonthefamily.com. You can look it up. They have a lot of really good information on that. Focusonthefamily.com. And they say that forgiveness is returning to God, quote, the right to take care of justice. And by refusing to transfer the right to exact punishment or revenge, we're telling God, you know what? We don't trust you to take care of matters at all. And a quick sidebar here, forgiveness is not the same as reconciliation. Well, what do I mean? Well, look, what did Christ do when crowds were repeatedly angry with him? What? Christ didn't say, I forgive you. You know, I forgive you. And just stand there and let them stone or beat him to death. No, he fled. He did. He fled. But did he forgive them? Yes, he did. I mean, think about when he was on that stake. What did he say? Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. We are never more like Christ when we forgive. So how in the world do we go about forgiving someone who has deeply wronged us? Well, the Mayo Clinic has some very good information as well on how to go about this. TheMayoClinic.org. They say, think about the facts of the situation. And then they say, think about how we reacted to that. And how this combination has affected our life, our health, and our well-being. And I'm going to add, think about how it has affected our relationship with Christ and our Father. And then they continue to say, move away from the power of the offending person and the situation have over us. That's a biggie. Actively move away from our role as victims and release the control that they had in our lives. You know, but refusing to forgive can be a refusal also to let go of some perceived power that we have over that person, right? Sometimes we may feel powerful when we are the only one that can forgive them. That's a very, very strong motivator to not forgive on a carnal level, right? Sometimes we may fear going back to being powerless over that person by forgiving them. Man, I've been there. Give that power back to God where it belongs, as Hebrews 10:30 and Romans 12 verses 19 tell us. Hebrews 10 verse 30 and Romans 12 verse 19. As we release our grudges and resentments and forgive our offenders, we release Satan's grip on our lives. And then true healing can begin. By forgiving others, our lives are no longer defined by how we've been wronged or abused. Now our lives are defined by mercy, love, and compassion, and Christ actually living in us now. Now, when all is said and done, the theology of forgiveness is summed up in one person, right? Christ accomplished most when he was suffering unjustly. That sums it up, right? And in the suffering, he said, Father, forgive them, as I've already said, for they do not know what they do. Forgiveness is everything. It's the only thing that is going to sustain love in our marriages, our family, our friendships with each other, and the Church of Jesus Christ. And one last time, never are we more like Christ than when we forgive.